You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This is Sports Station. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. Ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm getting no interview. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Happy Monday on the Jeff Calkins Show. Today on the radio show, let's see, we got Dan Devine, your man Devine from Yahoo, to talk about the NBA with us. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. I am, Jeffrey, as you know, I am in a cabin in northern Michigan. If you want to see the setup, this is a new setup I have now. If you want to see the setup, I have, I have a fancy schmancy microphone that Brad gave us that is set up in, it's the room that we call the termite room, and it's called the termite room. Guess why, Jeffrey?
Because it has termites?
Because it has, on one legendary night, many, many, many years ago, my parents were away. And my sister and I were sleeping in this room on the little single twin beds. And all of a sudden, termites just started dropping. Like, not occasional termites. Hundreds of termites.
Whoa, they were dropping from the ceiling?
Dropping from the... They just, like, emerged from somewhere. They swarm of termites just took over the room.
That really is like a scene in a horror movie.
It was like a scene in a horror movie, and we're shrieking and whatever else.
Obviously.
And ever since, when we, you know, whatever, the family gathers up here, and, you know, who's going to, where are you going to be? Oh, so-and-so's going to be in the termite room. It, like, the other rooms don't have the other bedrooms, such as they are. As my sons basically said, when I was taking them to the airport, they said, the house doesn't have walls. It really just has partitions. Mm. The walls are so thin that you can hear anyone who rolls over in bed in the next room over. It's a very, let's just say, rustic place up here.
It's like anyway, it's like how they make apartments in New York City into like four bedrooms by just like
exactly.
They just you put just like yeah.
There might as well be a sheet between the bedrooms. Like, it's crazy. But it has stood since the 1930s, so at least that's good. And I've set up the microphone and the laptop at this desk in the termite room. If you're on Twitter or X, people, you can see the scene. And you can also see the I've zeroed in on a couple of the photos on the wall. There's my dad and my brother Ben. I thought it was two donkeys, but upon further inspection, it is three donkeys. I would not like you all to refer to my brother and father as two additional donkeys. Mm-hmm. Don't call it five donkeys. There's three donkeys, a dad and my brother Ben. And then there's another photo, also involves a donkey. And this one has eight Calkins children, which means my little brother had not arrived yet.
Mm.
So it's probably from...
So y'all had just moved to Buffalo.
Look at the photo. Look at the photo. Yeah, well, so I was born right after we moved to Buffalo in 1961. We moved in like June, and I was July. I was born in September. You have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do I look there compared... Like, what age am I in that photo? I'm the baby in the front. The baby in the front. And notice the walking on sunshine spirit that I had even then. I'm clapping, smiling. I look happy. It's the same aspect, the same personality that I bring to this radio show and to my columns and have for years.
Here's the issue that I have with the photo.
Yeah.
My daughter is like in the third percentile height-wise. No, I know you're stunned by that.
So
the fact that you're not standing to me implies that you probably weren't walking yet.
No, I think I'm probably, it's about a year, right?
Yeah, I was literally thinking about a year old.
So that's from 1962 with the donkey. And there I am in the front. Anyway, so we're trying to do this from the cabin.
So far, so good.
I thank Jeffrey for holding it down there. We got Dan Devine coming up next. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. It's an interesting week in sports because the fact that we are so looking forward to Summer League tonight, commences tonight, I think tells you something about this week in sports. Also, the fact that the ESPYs are this week, Jeffrey, tells you something about this week in sports. Don't you agree?
Yes. No, I mean, yes, it is. Again, to a certain degree, all awards shows are made up, but it is the most made up of the award shows.
Like all holidays, we had one listener pointing out that Juneteenth is made up, to which I responded, if that's the one you're identifying as made up, you maybe have to scrutinize your values a little bit, because all holidays are made up. It's also true that all award shows made up.
Yes.
But this one feels like as made up as any made up one could be.
This feels like the most made for TV by ESPN.
Before I get into Summer League, I do want to ask this philosophical question that I grapple with.
All right.
That some of you out there may be grappling with this week and in the weeks to come. Does a vacation with the extended family count as a vacation? So
how are you defining extended family?
Well,
are you just saying like your siblings and their children, or are you saying like...
I think, of course, that depends as time goes on. Like if you're 18, your siblings and extended family, then it's immediate family, right? For me, my siblings are... You know, that's kind of extended family. And so I guess what I mean is, if you head off to Las Vegas or the beach or Paris or New York or Chicago or Orlando,
and
it's just you and your sweetheart or your sweetheart and your children, I think we can all agree that's a vacation. Although even then, some would say vacationing with children is no longer an actual vacation. So maybe the real vacation is just you and a significant other, right? That's the apex.
Or you know, I think the main thing that you're figuring out is like, or like, if you want to go with other couples, whatnot, like to me, like
that would
still,
also be, yeah.
But
yeah,
it's
also.
I think what we're hitting on is when you have kids, especially when you have to be attentive and you have to pay attention, you got to keep them alive.
It's possible that is no longer
a
vacation.
That's where it gets stressful.
But then there's so then I'm focusing on a different stressor, which is, you know, I was here with seven of my siblings were here I came up Wednesday. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday were spent with 30 Calkinses, right? And while it is glorious and wonderful, and I wouldn't trade it, because it's a chance to see each other, and we do actually love each other, and we, you know, hang together. We communicate with each other. It's not like the Aaron Rodgers family. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not estranged from one another. It's not like the Filipowski family.
I was going to say, yeah.
Which seems an updated version of the Rodgers family. Like, we all really care about each other. But I'm so glad when they left. Like, right now, it's just me and Claire in this cabin. And it's a different thing. It's your time is your own. You don't have to, you know, it's a different thing. So I think there are three kinds of vacations. There's the on your own significant other vacation, which is just, you know, restful. You get to choose. You're making your choices all the time about what you most want to be doing at that moment. That's possible your significant other has different priorities than you do, but still. Once you have kids, you're no longer choosing. You're captive to their needs, right?
When you add the kids into it, it becomes a survival contest.
Right. You chose when you had the kids in that way, but correct. Then otherwise than that, it's really not. And then if you add an extended family, I think you need a vacation from the vacation. I think at that point, you need a vacation.
So are you trying to justify staying in Michigan for another week?
It doesn't count as a vacation. It doesn't count as a vacation.
You needed this. That's the official
position of the Jeff Calkins show. When you take a vacation with it. Well, I'll ask John Martin. When he went to Bosnia, where the hell he went, with his extended family, was that really a vacation for him? No. Vacation for him is when he and Sam go to Las Vegas or somewhere. That's a vacation.
I don't even think Sam's been going to Vegas. I think he just goes by himself.
John goes by himself to Vegas. Oh, we did have news in the extended 92.9 family. Did you see Gabe Kuhn spiked that football?
I told him, I go, buddy, this is your retirement tour. Like, the next 6 months is do play all the golf you want.
I heard,
like,
you said that. Do everything you can because it's over.
Correct. This is the retirement tour.
He spiked the football for the gender reveal, and the football, a cloud of blue smoke emerged. So there could be another offensive lineman headed to the University of Memphis, depending on how the next 18 years go. All right. That's that for that. Onward to Summer League and the Grizzlies, where we do have actual news. And so two things I wanted to ask, Jeffrey.
All right.
It is funny. In the Athletic, they do a daily email, like every publication does now, a daily email. And on this daily email, they say what to watch. And for what to watch tonight, this is not a Memphis-centric email. This is a national email that goes out to all subscribers to The Athletic if you happen to, you know, choose to opt in to get this email.
The Pulse, I believe is what it's called.
It's called The Pulse. And what to watch, the Memphis Grizzlies and the Utah Jazz tonight at 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
In all the land, the thing that we most want to watch tonight as Americans is the Memphis Grizzlies and the Utah Jazz. And it's because of Zach Edey.
Absolutely.
Like, if the Grizzlies had drafted, as Vol fans would have preferred, if they had drafted Dalton Connect, that would not be the thing to watch tonight. Don't you agree with that? The reason for the intrigue nationally, I don't think this is entirely true locally. There is other reasons of intrigue locally. Zach Edey is number one, but you tell me. We'll get to the assistant coaches here in a minute. In terms of the things you are most interested in tonight, isn't Zach Edey, Memphis Grizzly, number one?
I think he has to be, right? Anytime you get a new toy, it's the first time you get to play with it, right?
Right. There's a Cam Spencer new toy. You're not counting the Cam Spencer new toy.
But Zach Edey
was in the stocking. It's not the big thing under the tree.
Yeah, Zach Edey was like what Santa brought you.
Isn't that remarkable? That's like, it is funny. It is the most. This is fair to say, it was the most criticized pick of any pick in the draft this year.
I mean, it was heavily criticized by one person. And we really fixated on that one person.
Okay, it was not heavily criticized. But it wasn't just one person. It was criticized on Twitter by lots of Grizzlies fans, the initial reaction. Although we acknowledge,
I mean, most
it was an overreaction, but it wasn't one person. There was, okay, name. Hey, here's another question. Name one other draft pick that was criticized this year.
There were people that didn't like Ron Holland at five.
I guess there were some who didn't like Ron Holland at five. But I guess my point is,
I mean, the Atlanta fans.
It wasn't a draft, honestly, that lent itself to great. Either no, because people did criticism because it was all meh.
No,
right.
So part of the problem of why Edie, you could at least criticize one way or the other.
Seen him,
correct? There's a lot of film out there on him.
But what's funny is it is the most criticized to the extent that there was any criticism of the draft this year. Period. It was the most criticized draft pick. It is also the most intriguing draft pick and the most now anticipated as the Grizzlies prepare to play the Utah Jazz. And their summer league team, it does feel to me like Zach Edey should be good at summer league. I don't mean the style of play, but one thing we know about Zach Edey is he is dominant against college players, right?
Absolutely.
We've seen that. He's 2-time player of the year. So it's not all college players, but it's that level of play, right? That's the level of player we are seeing. So you would expect him, would you not, to be pretty damn good?
There's no way that the level of competition is going to be. To me, it's like this is about going to be the equivalent of the NCAA tournament. And we saw him almost single-handedly take a team to a national title. He just ran into the team that has.
Yeah. You know. So now it'll be interesting. They're not going to be feeding him in the same way. They're not going to be relying on him the same way. They're going to be riding on him, you know, riding him for as many minutes in the same way. And so I'm not expecting that level of production, but I do expect him to be good. And so the Zach Edey era, if we're going to call it an era, I don't think there's going to be a Zach Edey era. Like there is a.
The problem is that it's still going to always be the John Morant era.
That's the thing. He would have to be awesome to be these to make it the Zach. But it's the summer league era, the Zach Edey summer league era. The Zach Edey experience is beginning tonight, and so that is, I do believe, the most intriguing thing. There are other intriguing things. Also on the roster, the summer league roster. You got the 2 seconds, Jalen Wells and Cam Spencer will be there. And you've got Gigi Jackson and Jake LaRavia will be there. Scottie Pippen Jr. will be there. And DJ Jeffries will be there. And Trey Jemison will be there. You can look at the complete roster at the Daily Memphian. But that's the highlights. So let's go to some of the others. We'll get to the veterans here in a minute. Jalen Wells and Cam Spencer, what's your level of intrigue?
Not that high because I just don't think they're a part of this team. I'm not saying, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that they don't have opportunities to be development guys, but I'm really locked in on the next 2 years.
Right. No, I am intrigued by them only because nothing close to Zach. Like, Zach Edey, much more high profile and much more important this year, as you point out, this year and next year. He is critical. They had a big hole in the roster, and this is how they chose to fill it.
Correct.
And just this way. So he needs to be awesome. He's being relied on, clearly the number one thing. I'm interested in Jalen Wells and Cam Spencer, mostly just because considerably less shiny new toy theory. Like, I've seen Cam Spencer play a lot now, right? But I haven't really seen Jalen Wells play. You probably have, because you stay up late. Have you seen him play? Can you picture him in your mind's eye?
Yeah, the Wazoo guy. Yeah, they were. I mean, they were a team that was not much was expected from him because he was so good. Like, they ended up, you know, contending for the Pac-12. But, I mean, it's still kind of an abstract of how interested I could be.
Yeah. So there's some intrigue there. I'll be curious.
I do like how UConn's roster became this year what G League Ignite was supposed to be. It was just like, okay, if you didn't know what to do with like a second round pick, like, I don't know, just go find a UConn guy.
Right. And then you got Gigi Jackson and Jake LaRavia. And I do think after Zach Edey, those are the two who are most interesting. You know, Jake LaRadia, this is his third year. He should be damn good. Now, truth of the matter, he was good in the G League, and he was good at the end of the year for the Grizzlies, and he is...
So the question is whether or not he's useful, or is he like a 4A guy? You know, like the guys that are too good for AAA, but they don't really find homes in Major League Baseball. It's like, is he like that kind of tweener?
Well, and can he this year? He very clearly, at the end of last year, resurrected what seemed to be, mostly because of injury, a lost start to his career. And last year, in that wreck of a season, he was given an opportunity, and he had a very credible ending to the season. And so what you'd hope is that he could become a guy, because let's be honest, I think the Grizzlies, to the extent that they're going to be cleaning up the end of the roster, I think most Grizzlies fans think getting off Zaire would be preferable. A, it's just, you know, it's more money to get off of, and B, we've sort of had enough of him, whereas at least we've actually seen something from Jake LaRavia. To me, what you'd hope...
The
is
funny thing is, I want to go back to that point, because I think that's interesting. To me, the interesting thing is that it does feel like collectively we're just done with Zaire, but right. It's not like he's done anything. He's not said anything. It's just like...
No.
He's
we don't hate him as a human being.
No, but like nice to me, it's like funny because... Like, at least with Chandler, now, like, there's a question of who shot first, but, like, with Zaire, there's nothing. It's just that we've collectively just decided
well,
we're not.
My experience of being this is not true. Well, maybe it is. As a sports fan, there are players you truly hate for reasons that are appropriate. Like
malcontents. Being malcontents.
Like Chandler. Like as a jackass, right? Like that's whatever. Then there's other players who...
Game offends you.
Something about their game or whatever offends you. And it's not their fault.
No,
they're not bad people. They're not unpleasant. They're not whatever. You know, it can be because they just weren't worth their draft pick. Right, it could be like if Jake LaRavia were a street free agent that they'd signed. There would be no one would dislike Jake LaRavia or Zaire Williams.
I honestly
right?
think Zaire I Williams think I think with Jake, if they were just agent. Second round picks, nobody would care.
No one would care. Like yeah, no one cares when they don't work out, and so you just get to a point where you're. I think like it. I'm on the Bills and Sabres, you know, message boards, and there's always quote unquote a whipping boy.
Sure.
And if they get rid of one, then there becomes another one, a player that you hate, not because you hate that player, just because they're not as good as you want them to be. Or they get too much time, or they get too many minutes, or whatever else. For Zaire, it's just where he was drafted.
Yes.
That's literally it. It's where he was drafted. But Jake LaRavia, you'd hope he could be a player who is not in the 10-man rotation, but when someone's injured, can step in and be a credible player this year. That's what that is my aspiration for Jake LaRavia this year, and I think it's reasonable. And then for Gigi, I just think it's going to be super interesting. What's he coming back as? What has he been working on? Are we going to see improvements this summer? What will he work on this summer? And of course, in the end, with Gigi, the question is, how is he going to fit when he's the ninth best player in a rotation? Rather than the guy who's taking all the shots. And we won't see that. That answer will not come at G League. It can't, because he will be the guy who's taking all the shots.
Yeah.
And
this is kind of my problem of when everyone wants to get excited. Like, to me, the most exciting thing about Summer League is just what does Zach Edey look like? And to me, it's like, because the other ones.
Yes, 100%.
The other parts for me, it's like, if Gigi comes out and dominates G League, I don't really care. I've seen him dominate, you know, apathetic NBA games.
Right.
To me, it's all about what does he look like? What does he look like when training camp starts?
Right. It is, but we did see last summer, Jake and Zaire did not dominate Summer League. And that was worrisome. That was like, they should be better than this. Like, we were trying to find reasons for hope in their Summer League performances last year. So this is more one of these, you can't really help yourself, but you can cause alarm. Jake LaRavia should be really good, you know, on this team. Anyway, that is happening. If you want to see DJ Jeffries as a Memphis Grizzly, that is intriguing as well. The other news from the Grizzlies camp emerged over the weekend, and it is the news that folks have been waiting for, and that is, or news we've talked about for a long time, the turnover in the coaching staff. They are actually, in terms of actual staff members who will be back, assistants who will be back, it is only two, Patrick St. Andrews and Anthony Carter. In as assistant coaches, they will be back. Among the folks who are gone, and it's a considerable list of folks who are gone, Brad Jones, Blake Ahern, Sonia Roman, Scooney Penn, Michael Moyes left on his own to go to San Antonio, and Potapenko is gone as well. So that's the list that is gone. To replace them, you've got the following folks. Noah LaRoche. Drew Hill broke the news a while ago that Noah LaRoche was joining the staff. He is a revered, I don't think is too strong a word, or ballyhooed or whatever else, player development guy. And he will be head of player development. When Drew broke that news earlier this summer, there were a lot of folks in the NBA who said, whoa, like that guy's great. He's had his own Integrity Hoops is what it was called, his own skills development outfit in Los Angeles for years. So he is joining the fray. Joe Boylan. Joe Boylan was in Memphis once upon a time from 2015 to 2018. He's been with the Timberwolves since 2021. He is going to be involved also in player development, has a deep history there, and is credited with helping Chris Finch in Minnesota develop Naz Reid and Jaden McDaniels. So he is joining the staff. Patrick Mutombo, no relation to Dikembe, was an assistant with the Bucks last year. He coached the Raptors G League team from 20 to 22. So what you're seeing is a little bit of a theme, Jeffrey, there's a player development theme to all of this with Noah LaRoche, with Boylan, who's credited with the work he did in player development in Minnesota, with Patrick Mutombo, former G League coach. Jason March is elevated. He is former Memphis Hustle coach. So again, sort of a development guy. There is a certain theme there. And then the headliner from the weekend is the coach of Paris basketball in the French league. And now, do you have you're my French consultant, mm-hmm. Thomas Isilo? Do you have a sense of how we're supposed to pronounce this?
Usually, it's Thomas.
Videos. Thomas Isilo. Mm-hmm. Isilo.
I'm trying to see the
Isalo. Isalo. We're going to go Isalo.
I'm trying to see the exact pronunciation. The writing.
Coached Paris basketball in the French LNB Pro A and the Euro Cup last season, where he was coach of the year, ready, in both leagues.
There you go.
His team went on to win the Euro Cup title. And he is expected to be the new lead assistant. He is, again, there's
sort of a cult. I'm going to guess Isalo.
Isalo. There's sort of a cult around him.
Well, that's always good.
It's just like
a scheme. I know his style, his scheme.
An NBA commentator over the weekend said, you know, let me see if the exact.
It's like who's Shanny. Shanny's got a cult following. Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, what's interesting about it is that could be the most important underrated pickup of the season, basically. Memphis Grizzlies may end up having the most underrated pickup of the entire offseason, is one. And link, this coach has better offense than NBA teams. The his team in Paris had a 126.8 offensive rating, which is crazy, better than the Celtics, which was the best ever. They play fast. They shoot threes. And so he has a cult following, and he is supposed to be the lead assistant to Taylor Jenkins. And so you've got a really remade staff. It was interesting to me to see like the optimism around Kevin O'Connor. Tweeted out over the weekend, the Grizzlies have a chance to win it all if Edie is good right away. There was just this burst of optimism around, it was sparked by the hiring of this assistant, right? And to me, well, first of all, I don't mind the optimism. I think the truth of the matter is Memphians have been more optimistic about this team and the future of this team than there has been optimism nationally for a long time. Like, we've always thought this was a gap year. They could come back, be in the top four of the West next year. And yes, have a chance to go to the Western Conference Finals, have a chance to, go to the NBA. Like, if things break exactly right, obviously the Edie thing is huge. But I think there's been great optimism, or a fair share of optimism, in Memphis over this team for a long time. I thought it was interesting that it seemed to be this coaching hire that sparked the national optimism, when we've seen mostly the Grizzlies being just ignored nationally or forgotten about. And it's particularly interesting given that, Jeffrey, this is a league where we normally say that head coaches don't matter.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we even say, unless you're one of the two or three coaches who really, pop, who really
Spoelstra,
have an impact, Spoelstra, unless you're Spoelstra, we don't really care. You're just in the, and so here we're attaching, again, I think it's, I'm in favor of this. Like, I think that the new staff we can talk about in a minute is, but isn't it fascinating? We generally acknowledge that head coaches are only so important in the NBA because rosters is what matter, right? Rosters
totally
will matter. Like, look what just happened in Boston. Does anyone think he's a freaking genius? No. He's got the best roster in the league right now, the best, healthiest roster in the league. That's why they won the title. And here we're attaching this significance to assistant coaches. Do you think it's overblown, Jeffrey?
I think to be
fixated on the new, or to put much stock in terms of reasons for optimism for the Grizzlies going forward this year, is the staff, should the staff, the new remade staff, be one of your top three reasons for optimism heading into the new year, the new season?
No, I think the optimism, and again, I'm with you. I don't, if you want to have some, if there, people want to have optimism about the Grizzlies, there's enough room. Come on. I'm not on board.
We have been optimistic.
Right. I'm not shutting the door on you. I think it's a product of, let's look at where the calendar is. Free agency is largely done, and there really wasn't any, like, seismic type shifts. I mean, you had the Paul George stuff, but in reality, I think most people got in their heads that free agency was going to be a much bigger frenzy than it actually ended up being. Summer League hasn't quite started yet. It was like, here's some tangible pieces of news about a team that has a team that at least is interesting. And so I think that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, I agree with that. If I was ticking off reasons for optimism, they'd be John Morant, Jaren Jackson,
John Morant being healthy would be the first one, health, and available.
Exactly. Good health, a center. Hope Zach Edey's good. Like, there are definitely reasons for optimism. I do think it's intriguing, though. Let's be honest. Last year, they bring in Patrick St. Andrews to, quote-unquote, fix and change and remake the offense. We're going to have different gears or whatever the hell it was going to be, right? And the gear was driving straight into the ditch because of injuries. So there's a limit to this.
Well, but you only got nine games with your best player.
Yeah, very clearly, the fact that they have, Brad Jones is a, like, Taylor Jenkins guy. Like, that's a, they've made... if not wholesale, substantial changes to their coaching staff. And I think it was strategic and intentional, and there seems to be a developmental element to all of this. And I don't know what that says about what they think. Like, is that an indictment of the work that has been done with Zaire or Jake LaRavia or the young people? Like, it's interesting because, like, Vince Williams has come along great, right? Gigi's come along great. So I don't know if they're sending some message about the way that players have developed, or even Ja has developed, right? Like, is Ja gotten better, or is just, well, he's been hurt.
He's
been hurt and he's been sidelined. It doesn't really matter. So I don't know if there's a message there, but then the second theme of it is the way they play. Both Noah LaRoche and Isalo have this, five-out style of play with Paris basketball It's fast. It's also not, it's not 40 minutes, like it's precise. It's fast, it's precise. It's built around, honestly, a smaller point guard they had, but a tremendous team. And it's interesting to think, what will that, how will that translate into what the Grizzlies look like? And how does that translate, given that the center that they went and got,
yeah, it's not the type, right? It's not a kind of a, yeah. It's what I find interesting about it is you could make an argument that this is kind of a culture change, but you kept the head coach. Like normally, when you do a culture change, like you're trying to, you just fire everybody, you just get rid of everyone. But it does feel like that there is, you know, there is a very dedicated. A very dedicated approach of development and kind of this new way of doing it.
I mean, it's funny. Like, people have been, the Taylor Jenkins hot seat thing has been, you know, discussed ad nauseum. And I believe they believe 100% in Taylor Jenkins. I also believe if they start 2-8-18, Taylor Jenkins is going to get fired. Like, both of those things are true. So you're just at the time when this team is at a trajectory where they need to win now. And so that's his job, is to win now. And if he doesn't win now, he will, or any coach, even a first-year coach, you look at the league, but certainly any coach with real tenure who has to win now and doesn't win now, will be ultimately shown the door. That's just
the nature of the league.
Do you think, as even though I also believe they believe in him 100%, do you think that, you know, in the NFL or in college, you see this deal, you fire the coordinators first, and if the coordinators, take my beloved Buffalo Bills, right? Fire the offensive coordinator. Next thing that happens, if the Bills don't look good, Sean McDermott, it presumably is the next one to get canned. Is the fact of this change and some very high profile guys on the staff now, does this put additional pressure on Taylor Jenkins, or is it just, I actually think it's more just the reality is the reality. He's got to win now because that's where this franchise is. And I don't actually think there's one of these assistants looming over him as some sort of, he's the heir apparent if Taylor Jenkins doesn't get it done. I don't think you needed that to know that Taylor Jenkins has to win now.
Yeah, I still think he's kind of in the same place that he's been. It's just we've kind of like run out of other people to blame. And so now it's like his number was drawn. He was just waiting in the deli line.
That would be true if they had kept the exact same assistant, the group of assistants. I don't think that it's this group of assistants puts any additional pressure on Taylor Jenkins. If they had brought back literally the same group of assistants, he would also be in the position.
Yes, I agree with you.
That he has to win now. And I don't mean he has to be first in the West or second in the West or third in the West. I think he has to be, the Grizzlies have to be back in the fray now. And that's true if he had this group of assistants or if he had the old group of assistants. I don't actually think it creates additional pressure. Maybe it will create some additional opportunity for them to be good. Although, as we pointed out, it's just fascinating that we would put so much of stock in assistants when generally we don't put that much of stock in even the impact of head coaches. So there is that. The other part of this that I think is worth pointing out is, I think it underlines again why it's nice to have Robert Parra as an owner.
I think, like, I agree with you. Yeah.
These dudes aren't coming. We won't know what they make. That's not what, you know, but these dudes aren't coming for free. And
they're all giving up something. They're all giving up like something.
They're all giving up something from to be like that. Like, Noah LaRoche has his own, you know, business in Los Angeles developing players, and he's moving to Memphis to be an assistant coach, you know?
Yep.
So I think it underlines again that the resources that this team has, because Robert Parra is the owner, and there's a lot of reasons why it's important and valuable to have Robert Parra the owner, but I think this underlines it and is another one. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, talk to Dan Devine on the other side, Chris Harrington after that. It is the Jeff Calkins Show on a Monday. I will tell you, it is time to get to O'Call because the semi-annual sale is underway. Started last week, ladies and gentlemen, and you know, it's barely July 4th. You've got all summer. And as you know, summer in Memphis stretches well into September, for God's sakes. So you got 3 months at least to be wearing the beautiful summer clothes. Head on in to Oak Hall. You'll never get better savings on spring and summer sportswear, swimwear. You walk on in, see for yourself, tailored clothes. Head on in. And the sooner you get in there, the better choice you have, the better selection you will have. It's only we're only at the beginning of July. The semi-annual sale is underway. Now is the time to get in and see our friends at Oak Hall. 1 week return, Dan Devine. We'll talk to Dan about assistant coaches, how much they mean, and more. DeMar DeRozan changing teams over the weekend, headed west. We'll talk to him about that as well. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Summer Hoops coverage in Memphis is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer Esiason here. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your game, all with the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? You've got an oil change coming up. You can go farther and save on full synthetic with our oil change special. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of STP Full Synthetic Oil with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $29.99. Get the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Are you getting the connection you deserve? 5G home internet can be spotty, and no one should rely on internet from a cell tower. Get internet for 50% less than T-Mobile 5G home internet in your first year with Xfinity. It's reliable internet with the speed you need at a great value. You'll get consistently fast speeds, even during peak hours, with 99.9% network reliability. For the internet experience you deserve, switch to Xfinity and bring on the good stuff. Now through July 25th, get 150 megabit Xfinity internet for just $30 a month for 12 months with no annual contract and equipment included. That's 50% savings over T-Mobile 5G home internet for your first year. To learn more, go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. Actual speeds vary. Compares promotional pricing for Xfinity Connect internet versus T-Mobile 5G home internet at $60 a month. After promo, regular rates apply. Currently $56 a month.
Hey, it's Jeff Calkins. You know when people ask if you have a good dentist to recommend? Well, I have a great dentist. It's Mehdi Sadeghi at the Smile Center. I've been going to the Smile Center for years now. My three boys all go there too. Mehdi is skilled, he's cheerful, and has always found time when emergencies arise. I honestly couldn't imagine a better dentistry practice than the Smile Center. It's where I send all my friends. So if you're looking for a great dentist, go where my family goes. The Smile Center is conveniently located in Germantown, or you can check them out online at smilecentermemphis.com.
Get ready for the ultimate musical experience at Southland Casino Hotel's R&B Festival on Saturday, July 20th. Enjoy a free concert like no other with gates opening at noon. The lineup features the sensational PC Band and electrifying openers Jerry Rogers, Tia B, and DJ Big Ron. Indulge in delicious food trucks and beat the heat in our air-conditioned tent. One stage, four performers, one unforgettable night of music and fun. It's all happening at Southland Casino Hotel. Must be 21 plus. Play responsibly. For help quitting, call 800-522-4700.
Oops. Ever had your singing lessons cut short by icy water?
Oh, I'm sorry, honey.
Say goodbye to those cold notes with Navien tankless water heaters. With Navien, you'll hit all the right notes without the surprise chill. So keep singing and let Navien keep the hot water flowing. And get ready for the encore when you get your utility bill.
La, 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 la.
Navien tankless water heaters. Visit tanklessmadesimple.com.
The wait is over. Dell Technologies Black Friday and July deals are live. Check out incredible savings on select laptops and more, like the XPS 15, powered by Intel Core processors. The XPS 15 brings you the perfect balance of power and portability, plus stellar visuals and immersive sound. When you shop online at dell.com/deals, you'll have access to exceptional tech and electronics, plus free shipping on everything. Don't miss out on Black Friday and July savings at dell.com/deals. That's dell.com/deals.
How many Rock and Roll Hall of Famers have been on the Talk Is Jericho podcast with me, Chris Jericho? Well, gee, let's see how many I can name off the top of my head. Metallica, Kiss, Slash, and Duff from Guns N' Roses, Angus Young, Brian Johnson from AC/DC, Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You want more? I got so many more, but I'm all out of time right now. So come rock with me, Chris Jericho, on Talk Is Jericho. Listen to and follow now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Dan Devine. Dan Devine writes for Yahoo. He writes about the NBA for Yahoo. The podcast is No Caper, Essential Podcast. I've tweeted out the link to the most recent podcast. You can catch him there and on Twitter or X as Your Man Devine. Dan joins me now. Dan, there's great excitement here in Memphis as the Grizzlies have, okay, I don't know, great excitement. That may be a little much. But the Grizzlies have turned over their coaching staff and have hired a bunch of new assistants, including Noah LaRoche, key developmental guy who used to have his development outfit in Los Angeles, and Thomas Isalo, I'm going to go ahead and hope I'm pronouncing that right, who was the head coach of Paris Basketball, where they did some innovative things. How much do assistant coaches matter?
I mean, they can matter a ton. I think one of the things that we've seen in recent years is a real explosion of staff in terms of there's no salary cap on player development coaches, right? And on the number of guys you can have on the bench who can help with things ranging from individual skill development for certain player types or certain positional groups, one-on-one, especially with young players. But also, you know, these are the guys who are the liaisons with the analytics team, so they can help with, like, your decision making on when to use your timeouts and how, when to use your challenges, but those things, you know, if you're a high likelihood of, like, call your face. labor, that sort of stuff.
Dan, this is Jeffrey. I'm going to have to jump in. We're going to have to call you right back.
We're going to call you right back. It's breaking up just a little bit. It's interesting. Dan is making the point, while you try to get him up, Dan is making the point that one of the points that I made before the break with respect to Robert Pera, one of the advantages of having an owner who is, it's not just as wealthy as Robert Pera, who is as committed to spending the money for the team to be as good as possible, is there is no salary cap on what you pay assistant coaches. And this is the fact that they've been able to get these guys is a tribute and is a credit, I guess, a credit to Robert Pera and his commitment to this team. So I think you're seeing that as much as anything. How it will translate into basketball remains to be seen. Jeffrey is...
Yes, Dan has rejoined us, and he sounds
better. All right, Dan. Sorry about that. You were breaking up earlier. But yeah, it's interesting. I guess one of the reasons I ask, I sort of do think, like, this is a Robert Pera, to credit to Robert Pera, that he's gone out and gotten these guys, honestly, is willing to open the coffers for these guys. It's sort of interesting that in a league where we don't credit head coaches for meaning much, you know, except for Spoelstra, it's, you know, pick one out of the bag. It doesn't make it... Maybe that's inappropriate, right? The fact that we don't credit the head coaches more, it's interesting that here in Memphis we're as excited about assistant coaches, just one step removed.
Well, I think it's probably a couple of things. You know, for one, obviously, like the stuff that we see a head coach do or a coach do, period, is like the absolute tip of the iceberg. We see how a coach, when a coach calls timeout or doesn't, if a coach, you know, draws up a play in the huddle that we see on like the Wired for Sound segment, and we see, you know, how they manage their rotation, like did they bring that guy in at the right time, that kind of stuff. We don't see the 99.5% of the job that is how you conceive of what your roster can and can't do, what they should and shouldn't do, what sort of scheme best maximizes the ability of your players, how you coach guys to fit into those schemes, or how you say, listen, I have a group of guys who can do X better than Y. Let's make sure we do everything we can to get them doing X and minimize the downsides of them not being able to do Y. And the assistant coaches are basically the entire, they are a large part of the rest of that iceberg. And I think what you see, I mean, the NBA at large is also not necessarily a great indicator of which ones of those coaches are necessarily ready for the next level or can be super helpful at the next level. I think one fascinating one to see will be Charles Lee, who has been a widely respected assistant head coach, first in Milwaukee, then with the Celtics most recently. He just got the Hornets job. I think there's a lot of excitement about that sort of, that coach being able to, like, instill a defensive culture, bring a level of energy to a pretty moribund situation. But we'll see, right? I mean, we don't know so much about it. With respect to the Grizzlies, I think the idea is, like, we feel pretty confident that Taylor Jenkins has a lot of the right ideas. So let's see if we can maybe augment some of those. Or if you've had the right kind of ideas, but you've done things a certain way for a couple of years, we don't necessarily want to get rid of you because we think that you have the right kind of ideas and we've seen success in the way this program has operated. But maybe, you know, you've had some brain drain, you've had some stagnation. Let's reinvest in that. And I think, yeah, it remains to be seen what that looks like on the court. But in a season that is essentially a reset opportunity for the Grizzlies, like, let's get back to a certain style of basketball, but also with a few new talents coming in and some guys having made some developmental leaps since the last time we saw them, let's have a fresh way of looking at how we can use them. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Really will be interesting to see how they play this year, given that, you know, Isalo and Noah LaRoche both sort of have a reputation and a resume, a history of being innovative five out style offense, and you got this big that you just added, your key piece on the offseason doesn't necessarily fit that way of playing. Of course, you don't always play, you play different ways depending on the matchups.
For sure. And then, I mean, the first thought that I had about that is, like, if you want to figure out how to better defend five-out offenses, maybe not bad to have some guys who run them, right, and who have a lot of experience in figuring out how to attack defenses differently, might be able to help you sort of advance scout some of that, especially given the makeup of a roster where, at the moment, it looks like your five-man isn't, you know, not exactly a switch across all five positions players. Like, so I think the idea of just more experience, more divergent kind of experiences in the room, more sort of creative versions of thinking, I think we've talked about this a little bit before, that idea that that if you are coming from a lower level of ball and you've had to be the kind of coach who's like, I don't necessarily know, I'm not going to be picking from five stars every night, so I've got to be, figure out a way to maximize the potential of the guys that I have here and how we can scheme ourselves some good looks or how we can find an advantage in the advanced scout and then press that even with maybe a talent deficit. I think that kind of creativity, that sort of experience can only help when you get, you know, a few more of those guys in a room with elite level talent like a healthy version of the Grizzlies is going to be able to bring to bear. So, yes, stylistically, I mean, my guess would be that, you know, you don't want to oversell or reinvent the wheel and say, like, John Morant, stop running pick and roll. Or, you know, like, Desmond Bain, stop running off flare screens and getting open for three. My guess is that the bread will stay buttered in sort of the same areas because, obviously, it was wildly successful when the team was healthy in its previous iteration. But, yeah, you know, some fresh coats of paint and some fresh sets of eyes certainly couldn't hurt, especially as the West continues to get only more daunting. And stylistically, as we're seeing, you know, an increase in the success and the prominence of five-out offenses and, you know, the switching defenses meant to counteract them. So some more sets of eyes figuring out how best to, you know, either attack those or graft some of those things onto what Memphis' previous principles are seems like a pretty smart way to do business.
Talking to Dan Devine from Yahoo, the podcast is No Cap Room. I've tweeted out a link to the most recent, which you should catch. Speaking of daunting and the West getting more daunting, how much more daunting are the Sacramento Kings with the addition of DeMar DeRozan?
That's a really interesting one to me because the Kings were a good but not great team. I think they won 46 games last year, and their identity started to shift toward the end of last season when Kevin Huerter got injured. They bring in Keon Ellis, and they were becoming a better defensive team, but their offense had kind of dipped down a little bit, and one area in which they were just pretty deficient offensively in terms of their overall profile last season, they just didn't get to the line a ton. Well, hi, DeMar DeRozan. You've been making guys jump in the air on your pump fake for 15 years, despite you not wanting to take three-pointers at all, and then getting to the free throw line a ton, and even at age, whatever, I think 36 last year, averaging like 24 and with five assists. Like, still very clearly a super efficient and effective offensive player, but also operates with the ball in his hands a ton, operates in the mid-range a ton, areas that the Sacramento has really had a ton of success with either DeMontis Sabonis operating from the elbows, you know, being the hub in the dribble handoffs, or with your primary ball handlers, De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk, getting downhill into their pull-up game. So how Mike Brown organizes that offense, I think, is going to be really interesting. DeMar DeRozan, not exactly a lockdown defender at any point in his career, but certainly not at this stage of it. But Sacramento, do they feel pretty confident with the bodies they've got around there that they can be at least an average offense and that he raises their ceiling offensively? I'm not so sure. I think as a talent play and for the price it cost, I think it was pretty it made a lot of sense to me for the Kings, but in terms of how it all manifests on the floor, I'm kind of curious what the fit's going to look like. I think they be heading into this offseason, I'm like, that's a play-in range-ish team. I don't know that this dramatically raises them above that, but it could make them a more dangerous team late in tight games, and with the margins being so thin in the West, that could be the difference between, you know, 7-6, which could be a world of difference moving forward.
Klay Thompson goes from Golden State to Dallas. I'm interested in both sides of that. What do you think it does for Dallas, and what do you make of what Golden State has done this offseason?
Sure. With Dallas, I mean, the enduring image to me from the 2024 finals was all of the guys who were left, who Boston was just happy to leave wide open and say, all right, go ahead and prove it. And, you know, Derek Jones Jr. struggled with that. PJ Washington struggled with that. Down the list with their role players. Well, now one of those guys is going to be Klay Thompson. And for all the things that Klay Thompson might not be at this stage in his career, he is still in the, like, upper half a percentile of catch-and-shoot shot makers in the world. I think the only person who's made more threes the last two seasons is Steph. And he's, you know, over 40% from the corners in every season of his career. 40% on catch-and-shoot three-pointers, and I think almost every season of his career. And now he's going to be catching those dimes from Luka and Kyrie Irving. And if you don't load, if you do stay hugged up on him, well, now you're creating more room for those guys to get downhill. And also you play them with a lob threat, like they've had with Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford. That offense should go from, like, fringe of the top 10 to, like, one, two, three. It should be up at the absolute upper echelon of the NBA in terms of what that should do for the offense there. The defensive end's another story. You know, you move off of Derrick Jones Jr., and he was the guy who took every important defensive matchup, your A1 offensive player every night. Klay Thompson's not up to that at this point in his career. We've seen it, and completely understandably so, after the injuries he suffered and the time that he missed. But he's better served guarding fours at this point, honestly, than he is guarding on-ball threats. So how they've managed that, how Jason Kidd and his defensive coordinator, Sean Sweeney, how they sort of figure out how they're going to manage that, it should be interesting. But I think the opportunity is there for them to be a much better shooting team, a much better spaced team, and that can be absolutely deadly with Luka. And then with the Warriors, I mean, it feels like this was the end was long coming, but nobody really wants to rip off the Band-Aid on something this, you know, that was that magical and that long-lived. But the Warriors now go into the season and they feel like, We're going to try to, you know, we're hoping for a healthier D'Anthony Melton after he dealt with back issues all last year. You get your old buddy Kyle Anderson in there as like a big, you know, ball handler, defensive player. You know, you add some more talent. You get another step in development from the young guys, Brendan Pajemski, Jonathan Kuminga. Maybe Moses Moody actually gets a chance to play this year. Who knows? And they're thinking, like, we can be a stronger overall roster. And if Steph Curry is more or less Steph Curry and Draymond Green doesn't miss 25 games for a variety of shenanigans, maybe that makes us a lot better team in the West. But as we just said with Sacramento, like, they were a fringe play-in team last year, with the exception of that one. I mean, it's a pretty big exception, but winning the title in 2022, it's who the Warriors have been for most of the last 5 years, is kind of like a fringe play-in kind of team. Getting above that in this conference with this roster as constructed, I think, is going to be a tall task, but, you know, things end badly, otherwise they wouldn't end.
Dan, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff. Take care.
Yeah, Dan Devine. Again, it's Yahoo, Dan Devine, Roman Devine on Twitter. No Cap Room is the podcast. Jeffrey, how are we coping with D'Anthony Melton and Kyle Anderson being Warriors? I don't feel great about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that was kind of odd to watch is, like, the Warriors have valued guys that the Grizzlies didn't really value. I mean, in the end, like, the Grizzlies could have kept both those guys. They let them go.
Yeah.
Now, there's also an argument to be made that maybe the Grizzlies, like, this could be.
No, I think in the end, like, we knew the Grizzlies were diminished by their departure. And, you know, Melton's been hurt lately, but they've both, since they've left Memphis, I think have proven why they are valuable parts of a winning organization, a winning basketball team. And I don't know. I just think the West is fascinating. Like, what do you do with Sacramento now? Like it's funny. John Hollinger wrote, you're not taking the league by storm with the 19th, 25th, and 34th best players in the league, right? Basically,
yeah.
Fox, Sabonis, and DeRozan. Like, three pretty good, like, very good. Three very good, productive players, he says, basically isn't enough. How far is that quote from fitting the Grizzlies? You're not taking the league by storm with the 19th, 25th, and 34th best players.
I mean, the question
Dez
is,
and Jaren, right?
The question is Ja really a top 15 player, or is he closer to somewhere like around, you know, 5 to 7? That's going to be the real question.
Exactly right. Is Ja actually the 8th best player in the league rather than the 19th? Right.
Because if that's the case, now you're starting to have the Celtics conversation.
Right. And is Jaren really a top, you know, at his best, clearly a top 20 player, right? And is Desmond Bane a top 25 player, right? Or whatever. Are those guys both top 25 players, and then you've got Ja a top 10 player? That's different than saying you've got the 19th, 25th, and 34th best players in the league. But it is interesting. Like, so much of what the Grizzlies, the leap that we want is not just stipulating good health on the part of those players. It's stipulating real excellence from all of those players as they enter what should be the prime of their career, right? It's be Jaylen Brown, that level good. You know what I mean? Jaylen Brown, you wouldn't have said, here he is, all of a sudden he's MVP of the finals. But you would have said he could be the same thing, 19th best player in the league.
Absolutely.
Right? 25th or whatever. So go do that. And Ja is Jason Tatum. He's not Jason Tatum in the way he plays. But again, go be that level. And then, yes, and then it
and then it works, it also requires all the pieces that the Celtics had around them. But anyway, so you got Sacramento. I think Golden State has been interesting in what they've done, fortifying the depth of their roster. There's all the excitement about the Lakers.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.